The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" This is the Gospel. You may be seated. Marvelous things happen when the Savior of the world climbs on board with us, comes into our boat. The wind dies down, the waves smooth, the tempest of our life ceases. Jesus might present himself in our lives as a threatening proposition. Some people are quite reluctant at first to turn over their lives to him who saved them, to let him come into the boat and take charge of the helm. "Take it from me, let it go, trust, and you'll be okay." It's not worth the effort to doubt Jesus. That only generates anxiety and worry and insecurity. He came into the world to save us. He wants to step into the boat of our lives. So much so that in architecture, you refer to the great hall in the church as the nave. Nave is Latin for ship. You are seated in the nave. You are in the ship, all facing the same way, because the ship is going places. The ship is going to eternity, and you are all rowers in this ship, each one of us. This is God's Son, who appeased God by dying on the cross in our place. Him we can trust. Without him, we are still imprisoned in the prison of the original sin, which condemns, which is real, which separates from God. But with him, the original sin is cut to pieces. Death is no more. There is peace and hope in our heart now of eternal life. And if God brings us out of the grave, can you even begin to imagine another problem which is too big for him to solve? There is no such thing. And now a little excursus. Excursus is Latin. It's fancy speak for getting off on a tangent. This point has nothing to do with the sermon, but think about it. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. Very important position. He is the only man born of woman that was given this role, to identify Jesus when he started his ministry. It was John the Baptist's finger who pointed at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist was here to introduce Jesus to the world. "After me will come one so important that I cannot even, am not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals." "Behold, make straight the ways of the Lord." That was John's role, and only that. Because when his role was fulfilled, he was retired, as if God said, "John, bedtime, go to sleep." God could have saved him from Herod's sword, but he didn't. "John, you're done." So in God's view, I find this incredibly comforting. In God's view, my life here is expendable. I don't have to worry about it. If it's in an hour from now, a year, or 10 years from now, or 20, it will come when God determines. Not a minute earlier, not a minute later. And Jesus said, who by worrying can add a single hour to their life? So let it go. when you say, Jesus, Savior, Pilate, me, in this old-fashioned and beloved hymn, mean it. And then let peace reign in your heart and in your life. So John the Baptist was not saved. He was killed because his mission was done. Peter's wasn't. Him, Jesus pulls out of the quagmire of sinking. And another lesson, excursus, is we receive the help we need when we need it. I have never really timed a man sinking in water, but I would say it's less than a second's time. What Peter really needed was instant help. Now, Lord, help me. And immediately, without time between, not mediate other means, immediately, directly, instantly, Jesus reaches his head out and pulls him up. Because Peter's mission was not done, God needed somebody to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God needed somebody to make a fool of himself the night Jesus was betrayed by saying, Lord, even if all betray you, yet I will never leave you nor betray you. God needed one to make a fool himself again later that night when he pulled out his sword and started to hack away. See, Lord, I am going to fight for you. Peter, the great, the strong, the rock, crumbles later on when he is put to test. I don't know the man. Who? What do you mean? I am not one of them. And when Jesus looks at Peter after he had denied him three times, Peter sees a hurt friend. And Peter sees the fulfillment of that friend's promise before the rooster crows twice, three times you will have denied me. And Peter goes out in repentance and cries bitterly in the night. Back to the text here, Jesus was hurt. He is human. His human heart was hurting. He had to go and pray to his Father in heaven. There is no one better than the Father than to hear, heal, and strengthen and restore the Son and reassure the Son. So the Son goes and talks to his Father. Meanwhile, he sent his disciples on the sea. He had intended to do it earlier in the day, but the crowds came to him. Duty called, and the servant of the Lord had no time to grieve. He healed their sick. He proclaimed the gospel. When they went away, he went up on a mountain to pray now with his Father. He dispatched the disciples seemingly by themselves. They didn't see him with these eyes and forgot to look at him with the eyes of faith. We do that often. We think that we are left to ourselves, that God is not here. But what does it mean when Jesus says, and behold, I will be with you always to the very end of the age? It means that he is with us. He is very near. He is right there. The disciples were struggling, and yet Jesus was right there. Their fear is turned to joy when he identifies himself and eventually climbs into their boat. And everything is just fine. That's the effect when he climbs aboard with you and me and the tempests and the crises and the trying times, the burdensome times, the suffering times cease. Like the man from Libya, Simon of Cyrene, you and I might be enlisted at times to carry Christ's cross for a while. But take heart, you won't have to die on that cross. It's not going to kill you. Deem it an honor. to carry your Savior's cross, to serve Him, to deny yourself and pick up the cause and do something for the cause. If it costs some sweat and some muscle pain, do it anyway. It's good for you, especially for the soul. You might think you are alone, but then our Savior, even though physically He stepped away from the disciples, spiritually He was with them, and then realized it fully and climbed into their boat. The help our Lord provides is tailored by God's plan, an all-encompassing plan, greater than our power of perception or understanding. In a hymn, a beloved hymn, we sing, "You designed the cross you gave me." The name of the hymn is, "What God Ordains is Always Good." Way down there, "You designed the cross you gave me. Thus you know all my woe and how best to save me. So your cross, my friend, was not made in China by a machine. Your cross is not generic. You are wearing a designer's cross on your shoulder. You designed the cross you gave me. Thus you know all my woe and how best to save me." Jesus knew that Peter's help had to be instant. An instant help, He delivered him and reprimands him, "Peter, what's the matter with you? I can't believe that somebody else would doubt. I can't believe that those that don't have me as their Savior would be in trouble. But you?" Luke put it, "Why did you have so little faith? Why did you doubt?" As if it's saying, the rest may doubt, and that's comprehensible, but you? You were given baptism and the Holy Spirit. You were ministered lessons in the Word of God. You have your life's experience of faith. Jesus says to you, "Don't doubt. It's not worth it." Our Lord knows what we need and when we need it, and He promised to supply it. He still calms the storms of our life. He still climbs on board with us. And that's as good as it gets on this side of paradise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.